from Paris to Portland. You've picked up the guidebooks. You've followed the advice. This is the Fromer Travel Show. Pauline Fromer, president of Fromer Media, and Jason Cochran, editor-in-chief of Fromers.com, with the most complete, the most up-to-date travel information available anywhere. The pages of the Fromer's guidebooks come alive right now, exclusively on 77 WABC.
Welcome to the Fromer Travel Show. I'm Pauline Fromer.
And I'm Jason Cochran.
And with Thanksgiving on the horizon, we thought that the question of the day should have to do with family travel. So putting aside Thanksgiving, where are the best places for families to vacation together? Give us a call, 800-848-9222. That's 800-848-WABC. Where do you think your best family vacations have been? For me, you know, I have two daughters, and usually family vacations, a good stretch of them involves a loud and long and prolonged argument between the two of them. Just being together for that unbroken stretch without having school, without having other friends around, they always end up in some kind of pitched battle that comes and goes in spurts for a couple of days. It's getting better now that they're getting older. But the one place in the world where that did not happen was Belize. We were having so many adventures, and they were so tired by the end of the day that they forgot to fight. It was just...
So the answer is tire them out.
Tire them out. Tire them out. And do
much like when they're babies, actually, when you think about it.
Yeah. And I guess, you know, and the best place to go with babies, and this is going to seem odd, but when my older daughter was 10 months old, we took her to Japan. And it was the greatest place to have a cute blonde baby. She was blonde at that point. She's now kind of more dirty.
Yeah, I was too, yeah.
Yeah, and we just got so much attention. And sometimes, you know, the Japanese, they're very formal. They're not necessarily going to go up to foreigners. But with a blonde baby, we were like movie stars. Wherever we went, people wanted to meet us. People invited us into their homes, in the markets. You know, the sellers gave us free things. It was just amazing.
So I'm sure that some of the listeners will have some of their own places where they loved taking their families. The number to tell us all about it and share it with everybody is 1-800-848-9222. That's 800-848-9222.
And I see we have somebody on the line with an answer to this. We have Roy from Delray, Florida. Hey, Roy, that was a quick call. I hear you have an answer to this one.
I do indeed, and I have to say I've done a couple of trips here with my family before. I think a great family destination for people is Baghdad in Iraq.
Really?
Okay. How long ago were you there exactly?
A couple years ago, and you'd be surprised. You know, you get one picture from the media, and granted, yes, there are a lot of troubles there, but I have to say, if you know where you're going and with your local guide, there is just such an incredible amount of history in this city. I mean, this was a place where you had a very strong Jewish presence for many years. You had all the major religions had their bases there, their headquarters there at one point. You have just incredible shrines, incredible monuments, and to say nothing about the food. The food is unbelievable. I mean, we're talking about the most succulent types of beef and fish. So I would definitely recommend it as a good, wholesome family vacation for really any American who's looking to go somewhere right now.
How much of a hassle is it to get to Baghdad these days, though? Yeah, aren't there visa considerations and no direct flights?
It's a very good question. So what we did was we took a flight, actually. You have to go from, what we did was we took a flight from here to London, and then we took Jordan Air from London. There is a direct flight from London to Baghdad. So that's the best way to go. I think you can also stop in Turkey. There are flights from Istanbul directly to Baghdad as well. So there are a number of different ways you can do it. You just have to be persistent and kind of figure out the logistics. But I'm telling you, once you're there, it's well worth it.
Roy, I got to ask you the question that I think is probably in a lot of our listeners' minds. Is Baghdad safe for Americans? Did you have to hide your nationality there?
You know, it's funny. I get asked that question a lot. And I would say it is absolutely safe for Americans. Look, I mean, I wouldn't go there and be waving around an American flag and all that, you know. But at the same time, I think the people there welcome the curiosity and the outside presence. You know, I think if you approach the city with an open mind, a desire to learn more about the culture and the thousands of years history. I mean, that's the thing that we often forget is America's a very recent country compared to a lot of these cities in the Middle East. And we're talking about thousands of years that city has been continuously inhabited. So, I mean, you just have this incredibly enriching cultural experience. And I think the people there definitely welcome that curiosity for sure.
Well, Roy, I am so thrilled you called. You know, it's funny, when we talked family vacations, I was assuming we'd get a lot of people calling about Disney World. Never in my wildest imagination would I have expected Baghdad, but that's absolutely
Roy's going to have some very smart, worldly kids.
Yeah. How old were your kids when you took them?
Oh, yeah, sure. So I had I have a little daughter named Jessica, and she was 5 at the time, and a son named Benjamin. He's 12. So they both enjoyed it. Lots of kid-friendly things. In fact, a lot of parks in the city, amusement parks, lots of fun.
Did Jessica have to wear a headscarf?
We were mindful of the local traditions and made sure that she dressed appropriately, modestly, yes.
Right. Well, thank you so much for calling, Roy. That was absolutely fascinating. We appreciate you calling. Anybody else who wants to call, 800-848-9222 is the number. You know, a lot of people will ask me, where should I take my kids, since I am a mom who writes about travel? And I usually say it depends on what age they are. I think a 5-year-old could get something out of Baghdad. Maybe I would have wanted the kids to be a little older. But I find that if the child is under 6 or maybe under 5, you can literally take them anywhere. I don't think you have to do a quote-unquote kid-friendly vacation at that age. It always kind of breaks my heart when I see families with babies at Disney World.
Yeah, me too. They're too young to appreciate it, remember it even.
Yeah, they're too young to appreciate it. It's so darn expensive, and they're going to really groove on it when they're 4, when they're 6, when they're 8, or even older than that. But at that age, it's just too much of a hassle and too expensive.
My advice to everyone is, if you're going to take your kids to Disney, make sure they can walk all day by themselves. For me, that's the good cutoff, because it means that they're going to be more engaged with the world.
Right, absolutely. And quite honestly, I took my 2 daughters when one was 2 and the other was 6 to Disneyland, and the 6-year-old loved it. The 2-year-old was terrified of all of the creatures, of all of the people in costumes. So it was really difficult because she was constantly crying and scared. But at 2, she was great in Paris. Because in Paris, every other block in the summer, there's a merry-go-round. And I could take her into museums. And, you know, when she would get fussy, I would take her to a place with a courtyard and she could run around. And then we could go back in and do other things. And it was a fine vacation. It was actually probably better than doing an amusement park, something what would be considered more adult. So if you have thoughts on family travel, 800.
And even if you don't.
Yeah, or even if
it's
you
about
don't.
Something else, a question. We're here for that, too.
Yeah, 800-848-9222. We also get email questions at FromerTravelShow@yahoo.com. Now, one of the things I do with my life when I'm not here at the radio station is I write books, as does Jason, and I write a book, Fromer's Easy Guide to New York City. So I'm always getting to travel in my hometown. And last week, I got to take a hard hat tour of Hudson Yards, which I think is going to be one of the biggest tourist attractions in the tri-state area the moment it opens.
So for people who are far away from the city, maybe listening online, what is Hudson Yards?
Okay. Hudson Yards is this massive real estate development. In fact, it's going to be, when it opens, the largest real estate development, a private one, in American history. It is 27 acres. It goes from 10th Avenue to the Hudson River, from 30th Street to 34th Street. And they've hired all of these different architects to do the buildings, because unlike Rockefeller Center, which had been the biggest urban development in New York City's history until this point. They're not going for a consistency of look. They really want it to look like a neighborhood that has grown organically. You go to Rockefeller Center, and I think it's breathtaking how unified everything is and how grand it is. I love Rockefeller Center. They're going for a different thing here. So every building will have its own profile, but you know, it's a lot of glass skyscrapers. What's going to be fascinating, though, is they are building the tallest observation deck in this hemisphere. It's going to be in a building that's taller than the Empire State Building, and it's really sadistically designed because it's going to be all glass. So you're going to be 100 feet in the air, and below you is going to be a glass platform. So you're going to look straight down. And in front of you, instead of there being, you know, it's going to be open air. And instead of there being, I don't know, metal, it's also going to be glass. So you're going to feel like you're
floating. Sponsored by Windex and Valium.
Yes, sponsored by Windex and Valium. Exactly. So that's going to be one of the big things. They also have this wacky sculpture in the middle of it. It also is very tall. It's called the Vessel. It looks like something that Escher, the artist Escher, would have designed. It's this series of interlocking staircases that you can climb. I wish it wasn't covered. It's covered in kind of this shiny, it almost looks like copper, but it's actually steel. So it's this yellow steel, which makes it look a little Austin Power-ish to me. It looks like something Austin Powers, you know, that character would have designed.
So it's already dated in a way.
I don't know if it's dated. It just looks a little too shiny to me. There's something a little trashy looking about the veneer. However, when I was there, I really expected to hate it. Everybody has looked at these drawings of the Vessel and have made fun of it. It's kind of majestic in person. You know, when the Eiffel Tower opened in Paris, the vast majority of Parisians hated it.
Yeah.
In fact, Victor Hugo, I think, started a committee to try and get it torn down because he thought it was such an eyesore. And now it's the icon of the city. I think that might happen with the Vessel. It's going to be very interesting. So that will be open March 15th, as will this major new mall. And the interesting thing about the mall is it's going to have a restaurant collection with some of the biggest names in food, creating new restaurants just for this place. There's going to be Keller. There's going to be Jose Andres. There's going to be David Chang of the Momofukus. It did kind of break my heart, though. New York City is a city that has amazing female chefs who have started their own restaurants, and they didn't tap any of these extraordinary women.
They missed it.
I think they missed it in that.
You know what? Also, it sounds expensive. Those three people,
yeah.
Lines out the door. Like, what's going to be affordable in Hudson Yards? Anything?
Well, they're going to have fast casual restaurants as well, and some of those
sure,
should be.
Sure, there'll be a Shake Shack,
Some of those will be interesting. I mean, and that's where the controversy about Hudson Yards comes in, because New York City literally spent billions of dollars to make way for this park.
Taxpayer money.
They extended the subway system so that the area would have its own subway stop. That was billions. They also bought the air rights because it's built atop the rail yards that jut out from Pennsylvania Station. So it's all built on a platform. The engineering is extraordinary.
Yeah. These are 27 acres that have never been built on before.
Right, exactly, because it was all rail tracks. So they built the air rights. They're paying for the parks. And it's mostly going to be luxury housing and business offices. So was that a good use of taxpayer money? I don't know. It's interesting. I mean, the folks who developed Hudson Yards say that the tax revenues are going to pay for it all in spades, that they're going to create so many jobs and enable so many jobs there that it's going to be a win for the city. But it has been controversial. I think what's uncontroversial is this is going to be a major place for tourists. It's going to be absolutely fascinating to see. And with that, we have to take our first break. Let me remind everybody, we'd love to hear from you. 800-848-9222 is the number. And a little coming attraction for this commercial break. Listen closely. There's a really interesting announcement that I'm going to make during this commercial break.
WABC. The Frommer's Guidebooks come alive. Pauline Frommer and Jason Cochran. The Frommer Travel Show on 77 WABC.
This program is brought to you by Allianz Travel Insurance. Protect your travel investment with Allianz. Visit Allianz travelinsurance.com. And if you have travels coming up, give us a call. 800-848-9222 is the number. That's 800-848-9222. And you probably just heard, I'm leading a tour. I'm going to take our listeners to Vietnam. Cool. So you're going to see all the details of that if you go to worldspree.com/Frommers. Okay, that's all I'll say about that. So Jason, we started out talking a little bit about Thanksgiving. It's going to be brutal, both on the roads and at the airports this year. What else is new? I know. According to AAA, it's going to be the most traveled Thanksgiving in 13 years. So what does that mean? That means 54.3 million people traveling 50 miles or more. That's up roughly 5% both at the airports and on the roads. So what should you do? Wear slip-on shoes. If you haven't bought your air ticket yet, I always recommend for both Thanksgiving and for Christmas, New Year's, travel as early in the day as possible. That's not only because of the crowds, but because this is storm season. And the later in the day you fly, the more likely you are to be flying on a plane that isn't originating at your airport. And why is that important? Because every time the plane has to move, it has more of a chance of being delayed. If you fly first thing in the morning, you're probably flying on a plane. It's the first flight of the day for that plane. It's not coming from somewhere else. If you're later in the day, there could be a storm in a place where the plane is. So even if it's clear where you are, you're not going to get where you're going. As well, over the holidays, both Thanksgiving and Christmas, take nonstop flights if you can. The more often you stop, the more likely you have to be on a flight that gets delayed or canceled. And you just don't want to do that because there's so many people flying over the holidays. It's really hard to get put on another plane. It could be days before that happens sometimes because they're so overbooked. All right, enough of that bad news. Let's go back to the phones. We have Gary calling from Edison, New Jersey. Hey, Gary, nice to speak with you.
Hello, and happy pre-Thanksgiving to you.
Thanks, you too.
Since you were talking about New York City, there was a trip I took about a month ago, because I live in New Jersey, on West 44th Street. There's two attractions right next to each other. Gulliver's Gate, which is incredible because it simulates the world, basically. It's like a world trip in miniature.
Right. Yeah. It's an interest. I've actually been to Gulliver's Gate. It's been open about a year and a half now, and you're right. It's these little dioramas, but cars move and lights flicker on and off and traffic lights work and trains go through it. And you see really detailed representations of places around the world. It was actually done originally by an Israeli company. I know all this because I wrote it up in my book, Frommer's Easy Guide to New York City. And because of that, Israel, which is a very small country, gets a massive display, whereas the entire country of India, which is, you know, 10 times the size, only gets the Taj Mahal. Which I thought was funny. But other than that, it's a wonderfully done exhibition. Expensive, so make sure you go online first to get a discount.
You can get some special tickets, the combo tickets between the Ocean Encounter and there, and also different times of day. There ends up being a bargain.
Yeah, but you have to plan that in advance. It's important that you go online and look for that. And you went to Ocean Encounters too?
Yes.
What'd you think of that?
Oh, I found that fascinating because what they do is they take you on a guided tour.
Yeah, of the ocean. I described it in my book as a water-free aquarium because basically you're in this exhibition where they've taken extraordinary photographs under the sea, and so they've created with screens these environments so you feel like you're on the sea floor. What did you take away from it?
Well, two things. First of all, the emphasis was on conservation.
Yeah, uh-huh. Which
and
is
second
important.
Of all, the exhibit where they had everything was quiet, and you just heard the sounds of the ocean creatures.
Yeah, Yeah, that was very cool, too.
And the bioluminescence was beautiful, too.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's well done. The Ocean's Encounter is done by National Geographic, and nobody does it better than they do. I mean, I was really impressed. Yeah, well, thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Okay, let's turn next to Joe in Paterson, New Jersey. Hey, Joe, you're live on the Fromer Travel Show. Thanks for calling.
Hey, yeah, thanks for taking my call. Great show, as always, so I really enjoyed it. Every Saturday.
Thank you.
And thanks for the update on the West Side Yards.
Yeah, it'll be opening March 15th. I'm not sure if I said that, but that's when the Eastern Yard will open. So that's about half of the development. The second part won't fully open till 2025.
Yeah, I'm not sure if I share your enthusiasm about, you know, building wherever you can build.
Yeah.
That's what it sounds like. But, you know, I live in Georgia. I love going into New York, and I used to love going down the viaduct to the Lincoln Tunnel and seeing that view of the New York skyline, and now it's blocked thanks to Hearts Mountain and new apartments.
It's is it blocked or just changed?
Yeah, it's blocked.
Okay.
That was like a Jersey landmark. You know. But have you heard anything about about 3.5-4 miles west of the train yards in Jersey at the Meadowlands? I'm not sure what they're building there, but it seems to be taking forever.
Huh. I don't know what it is, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Apparently, it was the ugliest building in New Jersey. Did you ever drive by it? It was horrible.
No, I don't have a car. I live in New York City.
Well, then you wouldn't know. It's going to be a giant outlet mall with something like 500 stores.
Huh. Interesting.
Oh, right. That's just what we need, because nobody can drive the other 4 miles to go to Paramus.
Right. It's like, yeah, oh, great, it's a new bank. It's another drugstore. That's all we need.
Marshall's and hope Starbucks gets some
Well,
space
there is going to be a water park there, so you can slip and slide after you go to the same stores.
And if you can find a parking spot.
Good luck.
Game days, yeah.
All right, thanks. Yeah. Thanks for calling, Joe. If anybody else knows about them, or if you want to discuss anything in travel, 800-848-9222 is the number. You know, before we go to our next break, we've been talking about all this fun stuff, what you can do when you take a vacation in your own hometown, what you can do with your families. But things can also go wrong on vacation. You might miss the cruise ship you're going on. Your plane could be delayed or canceled, especially over Thanksgiving, as we were discussing. You might lose your luggage. To help you with all those problems is Allianz Travel Insurance. They have policies that cover all of that stuff and much more. It's just the smart thing to do. To find out about great travel insurance policies, visit allianztravelinsurance.com. That's allianztravelinsurance.com.
Pauline Fromer and Jason Cochran, 77 WABC.
Today's program is brought to you by Allianz Travel Insurance. Protect your travel investment with Allianz. Visit allianztravelinsurance.com. We also hope you'll give us a call. 800-848-9222 is the number. And we don't want to happen what always happens on this show, which is we get a flurry of calls at the very end and we don't get to talk to everybody. People leave disappointed. So if you have a question or a comment on family vacations, on your next vacation, whatever it has to do with, if it's travel, we want to hear from you. 800-848-9222. Let's talk to Emily. Emily's calling from Fort Lee. Hey, Emily, thank you for calling.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Pauline and Jason. Excellent show, as always.
Oh, thank you.
First of all, for family recommendations, we love cruising. You can do it from budget to deluxe. You can put several families, you know, multiple cabins, and you can see different parts of the world. So we highly recommend cruising.
You know, Emily, there is a new ship that's being launched by Royal Caribbean, and it's going to be mostly for Asian passengers. It's going to be going in the waters around Asia. but they have the wildest family suite I've ever seen. It's two stories, and there's going to be a slide between the top and the bottom. Can you imagine?
Wow.
My kids would have gone nuts for that, but I have to agree. I think that cruising is great because there's kids clubs, so the kids have a tribe they can hang out with, so they don't always have to be underfoot, but then you also can have really good family time together. You know.
Exactly. Yeah. And we're taking a cruise to Europe next year, and the cruise line is recommending that we book the Norwegian airline with them. Have you heard of the airline?
Sure, mm-hmm. Absolutely. What would you say, Jason?
Where does it go? Where are you flying to?
So we're flying into Rome, and we end up in Barcelona. They're going to fly us from the New York City, Newark area to Rome a couple of days before the cruise on Norwegian Air, and then home a couple of days after the cruise from Barcelona back home.
So you'll find that the cabin in Norwegian is very much like a JetBlue or something. There's seatback screens, but you also have to pay for all these little things like, you know, checking your luggage and things like that. So it's a very added fee. Model for them.
They already, when you buy it through the airline, they say that you take one luggage and it includes the regular meal, you know, how you go to Europe and have the regular meal.
That's good. Now, the one caveat I think Norwegian's great. I think it makes going to Europe so affordable. I'm glad it exists. But if the plane does break for some reason, they don't have a lot of planes all around the world ready to scoot in and take you on. So sometimes people, if the worst happens, you could be delayed a day or two. So I recommend getting either travel insurance that allows you to just book on something else and go if that happens. It doesn't usually happen, but you want to be sure. Or I guess actually that's one of the best things to do, come to think of it.
Or get there in advance.
Get there in advance, yeah.
But the cruise line, that's their program. It's called We Assure Your Arrival. So, you know, if you book the airfare through them, they guarantee if something happens, they put you on another airplane.
Well, that's the reason to book through the cruise line. The reason not to, and I usually tell people not to, is often you get charged more than you would if you just found it on your own. Sometimes I've heard that passengers can have trouble getting seats together, you know, those kinds of things. I wouldn't have any worries about flying Norwegian.
It feels like a domestic flight to me.
Domestic flight.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Anyway, they're nice and they have a good reputation.
They're fine.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah. I know people who swear by them. Yeah. But they're people who don't travel first class. They're people who just want to get there affordably.
Right. Absolutely.
Okay. Well, thank you. Keep up the great work. You guys inspire us to travel.
Oh, thank you, Emily.
Thank
That's
you.
So sweet.
You know, Pauline, you mentioned the family suite on Royal Caribbean. It's not just for the Asian market. The Symphony of the Seas, which launched this year, has one too. It's now their thing.
Okay.
It is, like you said, though, extremely expensive. It's a duplex, but it's the family suite with a slide that goes from one level down to the other one. But
they also have
to go to Asia to enjoy it.
They also have a trampoline where you put on what are they called?
Virtual reality.
Virtual reality glasses, and you bounce up and down and go into different ecosystems as you're bouncing. Everything changes, I guess, every time you bounce up, you go somewhere else in the world through your virtual reality glasses.
It's much like as the minutes pass on our own program.
Wow. What a beautiful metaphor. Thank you, Jason. Let's turn to Margaret in Yonkers. Hey, Margaret, you are live on the Frommer Travel Show. We thank you for calling.
Oh, I'm so delighted to be on the air. I've listened to your father for years.
Oh.
I'm a radio person.
I will say hello from you.
Oh, that's really nice. I'm a first-time caller, and I'm planning a trip for the summer to take my three grandchildren to Ireland. My parents are from Ireland, and I've been there once for a very short trip, but I want to do a tour this time and take the grandchildren with me. They're older. My granddaughter is 22, and the two boys are 19 and 18. And my brother is going to be traveling with me. He's a little bit older. He's a senior like myself and his wife. So this is going to be some tour. But my question is, I picked out a 6 or 7 day tour that starts in Dublin. And I know that's one of the main cities.
Of course.
And it kind of tours around that area. It goes to Killarney, Bunratty, and it goes to, I don't know where that is. But anyhow, it does a little tour, and I have family there. One side of the family is Limerick. The other side is Offaly. And I'm trying to see if there's a way that I can meet with the family somehow. I think Offaly's pretty close to Dublin. They're not far from there. But I'm worried the Limerick is kind of south by Cork. That's where
Limerick, Limerick is probably 4 hours from Dublin. I mean, the thing about Ireland is it looks like a small country, but because you get around to many places via these pretty small country roads, it takes a lot longer to get places than it would to get an equivalent distance here in the United States.
Yeah.
I got to say, I'm not a fan of Bunratty. I find it really hokey. It's kind of this ye old Ireland experience with a castle, and you eat with your hands at a meal, and there's joust. It's just a little silly. I gotta ask, why are you doing a tour?
Well, I wanted my grandchildren to be able to see Ireland. They've never seen castles. This was fascinating to me when we went, but I went to the farms where my parents grew up. My cousins still own the farms.
Right.
And I don't want to stay with the family only because I don't want to be an imposition.
Uh-huh.
And it's a lot of us.
I don't know if you're going to save any money, though, doing a tour with that many people. I mean, what you could do is you could rent a house for all of you, and in an area where you could get a big van and drive to different places. Maybe one of the grandkids would drive.
But you're on the other side of the road over there.
I know. You don't trust them? You don't think they could do it?
I have to tell you, it's easier than you think.
Have you seen that place at night?
I've done it.
If you missed a turn, you're into a brick wall.
I have done it myself, and I've lived to tell the tale. I think
something about it. Your brain switches. The minute or two doing on the left, it's like your brain automatically knows what to do. It's a strange feeling.
I just
that's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I found the roundabouts can be very confusing. But for the most part, you just remember that your body has to be in the middle of the road as the driver.
And that
kind of keeps you going correctly. But I don't know.
Yeah.
With younger people, generally tours, not all and not the one I'm going to lead, but a lot of tours tend to get older folks. They tend to move a little slower than your grandkids may want to move. I think you might have more fun and actually end up seeing more doing it on your own. Maybe renting a house for 3 nights here and then renting another one here and traveling by van in between or by two cars. I mean, I think there's other ways to do this that might be better with people in their 20s.
Yeah, I think that's not it. I did not think of that, but that's an excellent suggestion because I wouldn't want to go to Ireland. I mean, if I went there and set foot on Irish soil and didn't see both sides of the family, well, people hold a grudge, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they're known for it.
And it might be difficult on a tour because it's not going to go exactly where you want to go.
Right.
So that would be we have a really great new book. It just came out. It's called Fromer's Ireland 2019, written by a guy named Jack Jewers, who has been writing for us for years, lives in Ireland, knows all about it. Pick it up. Take a look. I think you could do this on your own, and I think you'd enjoy it more. Because, they speak English. Ireland. It's not hard to do and see things there.
They're very friendly.
Very friendly.
I was so surprised because we did stay at a bed and breakfast in between, and we actually took the train. We went from Shannon somewhere down there in Limerick. We got on the train, and we did come up to Dublin, and then we met other cousins, and they picked us up.
Yeah, that's a great way to do it, too.
Yeah, so we did that, and it's great.
It's great.
And then you look out, and
you're not just with other travelers. There's nothing better in Ireland than just going into a pub and talking to people because they have the gift of conversation there. Unfortunately, we have to take a break. I'm sorry. Thank you so much, Margaret. I hope we gave you some good ideas. 800-848-9222 is the number. We'll be right back.
The most popular destinations for you and your family right here. Pauline Fromer and Jason Cochran, The Fromer Travel Show, 77 WABC.
That's right. You are listening to the Frommer Travel Show. I'm Pauline Frommer here with Jason Cochran. We are taking your calls at 800-848-9222. We also take comments via email, and I got one from Lee who has a suggestion for someone who called in earlier. She says, I'm taking Norwegian Airlines for the second time tomorrow. I suggest you pay extra and get a seat in what would be the premium area. Well, thank you, Lee, for that suggestion. Let's turn back to the phones. 800-848-9222 is our number, and that's the number Sam called. Hey, Sam, thank you for calling.
Hi, Pauline and Jason. Good afternoon. How are you?
Very well. Hi. Thanks.
Excellent show. Thank you, guys. Last week, I was the last person, so I couldn't get any information from you.
Uh-huh.
So 10 to 12 days in the first week of December, we want to leave, me and my wife, to Thailand. So tell me, should I go through some travel agency or should I book it my own? And what can I, in 10 to 12 days, what can I cover? Because I love water.
Sure. Well, you're speaking to the right person because I just finished editing a book on Thailand. So it's front of mind. If you have a great travel agent who's a real expert in Thailand, they may be able to find you things that you wouldn't find elsewhere. But you could also go to frommers.com/destination/Thailand. We have actually input all the stuff that's about to be in our Thailand book there. So you'll find great information. What I would recommend, is it a first-time trip? Sam, is it your first time in Thailand?
Yes.
So I would suggest 4 nights in Bangkok to start with,
okay,
because there's so much to see and do there. In fact, you could even do 5 nights and then do one of those days as a day trip to Ayutthaya. Ayutthaya was the ancient capital of Thailand. It was actually raised by... who lives right next to Thailand? They invaded. I guess it was the...
Burma.
It was the Burmese invaded in the early 1800s and left it in rubble, but beautiful rubble. And one of the most exquisite architectural sites you'll ever see. Architectural sites that's also an archaeological site. And in Bangkok, mm-hmm. you're going to want to go to the Royal Palace. You're going to want to go to night markets. You're going to want to. There's so much to see and do there. So that's 4 nights there. And you have 10 to 12 days. So then maybe 4 nights at a beachside destination. Maybe Krabi, K-R-A-B-I, is a wonderful province of Thailand with water bluer than heaven, with incredible little temples, as well as exquisite opportunities to kayak among these outcroppings of karst, which is a kind of a very rough-hewn boulder that juts out of the water and looking almost like skyscrapers coming out of this deep blue sea. It's absolutely exquisite. And then maybe 4 nights in northern Thailand. So you go to Chiang Mai. You might take a trek to visit hill tribes who are actually peoples from the countries surrounding Thailand, mostly. Some of them are refugees, but they wear incredible handmade costumes. One tribe dresses differently than the next, and it's a fascinating thing to see. Many more jungle trekking opportunities in the north, as well as exquisite temples to see. So I would split it up: northern Thailand 4 nights, Bangkok 4 nights, and an island destination or a seashore destination 4 nights. Does that sound like a plan?
That's an excellent plan. So again, I come back to the same thing. I have nobody to plan that way. So,
well, you either go, you can go to our website, frommers.com/destination/Thailand, and find all the info you'd need to plan it there. Or if you know of a very good Thai expert, go to a travel agent. But make sure that they really know what they're doing, because you're probably going to pay a commission, and you want to make sure that they're not just guessing as to where they're sending you. Many travel agents are excellent and would be good, but I don't know one offhand who's a Thai expert. So I'm sorry about that, Sam. We should move on because, of course, it happened. We have all of these questions at the end. You know what I'm going to do? We have a one-minute commercial break. I'm going to take that now. And Kathy, Marie, Roberta, we will get to you after the break. Before we go to the break, though, I have to say thank you to our sponsor, Allianz Travel Insurance. They not only sell policies, but they also give out Frommer's information for 24 destinations. So when you get one of their policies, you're also going to get great information on how to build an itinerary, how to find the best places to go in 24 destinations, and more. To learn all about this, visit Allianz travelinsurance.com. That's Allianz travelinsurance.com.
This is the Frommer Travel Show. Inspiring locations, inspiring ideas for New York. Live, local, on it. 77 WABC.
Okay, we've got 3 questions in 5 minutes. Let's see if we can do this. Let's turn to Kathy in New Rochelle first. Hey, Kathy, thanks for calling.
Thanks, Pauline. I have 3 daughters, aged 21 to 27, that are contemplating on taking a trip to Greece in late April. Number one, what do you think of Greece? Is it worth seeing? And what would your itinerary be? Would you spend any time in Athens? Would you do the islands? What do you think about Greece?
I love Greece. Greece is an extraordinary place, the cradle of Western civilization. So much to see and do. And I think you're cheating yourself if you don't spend some time in Athens. You want to see the Acropolis. You want to see the extraordinary archaeological museum. Then what they do next, I mean, late April is not really beach season yet. So I might suggest instead of taking the time to take the ferries to go all the way out to the islands, maybe they drive to the Peloponnese. And see such storied cities as Marathon and Delphi and other great areas of Greek history. Jason, what do you have?
I think because they're in their 20s, they might enjoy going to Mykonos. Mykonos starts opening up in the middle of April because it's the summer season, and it won't be super crowded because it gets a little crazy, little disco heavy in the middle of the summer. And it might be, if they don't want a suntan and they just want to see the island, Mykonos in late April might be great, but then the ferries go very quickly right from Piraeus, which is Athens' port, maybe 3 hours. I don't think they have time for more than one island, though, in 5 days.
No, not in 5 days. That's one of the reasons why I thought the Peloponnese, because you can easily drive that and see Athens in 5 days. But, yeah, Jason's right. Mykonos would be a good one. I hope that helps. Let's turn next to Marie in Smithtown, New York. Hey, Marie, you're live on the Frommer Travel Show.
Yes. Oh, thank you. I love your show.
Thanks.
I just wanted to comment on a family vacation. My family, I have 3 daughters. We went when they were teenagers to Colorado to Estes Park, which is at the foot of the Rocky Mountain National Park. It was wonderful. You go to the park. We hiked. We went whitewater rafting. We went fly fishing. The town is quaint. Our accommodations were beautiful. It is. And the weather, we went in July.
Uh-huh.
The weather is spectacular.
So that was your favorite family vacation. And it sounds like because you had a real variety of things to see and do, and it was in a beautiful natural setting.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Highly recommend.
I love all of Colorado, I got to say.
Yes, it's just an hour outside of Denver. So it's really, you know, it's just, I think, ideal.
Yeah. I've been
Estes
there briefly.
Estes Park.
Park. Have you been, Jason?
You know, Denver's a great area. People don't think of it, but, you know, you have Rocky Mountain National Park out the back door. You have Boulder, which is an adorable little town. Yeah. Estes Park. There's tons to do around Denver. In the summer, it's better. The wintertime, if you're a skier, fine. But summertime, I think, as she was saying, as Maria is saying, it's a glorious in the summertime.
I visited a friend in Boulder once, and we went out jogging. And I kept seeing these things popping up, and it was gophers all over the place.
Hey.
It was made jogging so much more fun. All right, we have to say goodbye for this week. We thank you so much for listening. To those who are traveling, a hearty bon voyage.
Bon voyage.